Renegade Broadcasting, hard-hitting talk radio.
Your time has come.
A storm is coming. Our storm. And when it arrives, it will shake the universe.
Welcome to the Solar Storm. This is your host, Kyle Hunt, coming to you July 1st, 2018. Wow, we are heading towards 2019 and presidential elections. I am so excited because I just love to talk politics on this here show, The Solar Storm. I'm just kidding with you. Anybody that has been listening to this show knows that politics is not really my favorite thing to discuss, and neither are just current events in general, though I will be touching upon some here tonight. I have done a number of shows with a few guests, and one is now a host, Heathen Vegan and SC, and I've been very pleased with how those have gone. I really encourage people to check out that whole series. Just go through, find it. Some of them are wild cards. It's all over the place. But I think we've really come upon some very important things from the past. But we'll be putting some of that behind us for now. On the back burner, we'll mull over some of those connections with the North Pole, the Spear of Destiny, the swastika, and all the rest. And we'll revisit it at some point. I really want to thank those two for doing all of that research with me. But I can't hog Heathen Vegan over here. I can't overwork the guy. I don't want him to burn out. He has his own Friday night show now here on the network. The network is doing well. Renegade Broadcasting still going strong. 6 years. It was founded in 2012. So we are still plugging along. We're not hitting all-time highs. I'll admit that. But we're doing quite well. However, over at RenegadeTribune.com, we are hitting all-time highs. However, recently I've been lacking a lot of contributions from people out there. There have been a lot of good writers who have come to the site, and I think sometimes they just get burnout, or they don't have much more to say, or they don't get what they're looking for out of it. But I want to let the listener out there know that you can have an incredible impact on the world by simply writing some articles and publishing it on Renegade Tribune. You can have your own blog. Please do that and back them all up there, because you know, what if I don't like some of your articles, or what if you get fed up with the Renegade Tribune? Have your own presence and you can promote it when you publish on the site. But by putting it on Renegade Tribune, an already established site that has great SEO ranking as well, you can literally have a piece that gets shared, not just viewed, shared tens and tens and tens of thousands of times. I'm not guaranteeing that's going to happen, but it's happened to quite a few of our articles over the years, and they still get traction to this day. And it doesn't have to even be an article. Have you come across some good videos? Have you found some good podcasts? And you don't even need to submit it to the site directly and have it attributed to you. If you just want to give me a tip, send me an email. One of the public emails you can use is renegadebroadcasting@gmail.com. And yes, I know that Gmail is a Judeo-Masonic service, and you should as well. So if you're going to contact me, don't don't come at me with things that might get you in trouble or me. Yeah, definitely not. Understand that people are reading your communications regardless. And that's one of the reasons I just don't care about getting on to an encrypted type of communication system. I'm out there as a public figure. So my communications, I don't have any need for extreme security with them. Let's just say that I'm very open and transparent, very forthright. I am shooting straight here. I mean what I say, and I say what I mean. But I hope other people out there are willing to, even if they're not public, to contribute something. You don't have to spend a dime. This is free. I've created these platforms for the free exchange of information. And you can legitimately make money through my platform. Now, I'm going to ask that you don't go overboard and, let's say, for example, host a whole roundtable that is dedicated as a fundraiser for yourself, an Alex Jones type money bomb telethon, you know, things like that. And just keep it classy. That's what I'll say. Keep it classy. And yeah, promote your books. If you have books that you want to sell, whatever, DVDs, put a little tagline in there. And it's worked well for some people. Mike Walsh did very well when he was writing for the site before he just went too extreme with his Putin shilling and other questionable things. I appreciate people who come into the network with good intentions. I really do. So if you would like to be a part, get in contact with me, just sign up for an author account. I really could use some help. Send me well-edited, I want to stress that, well-edited articles. Because if they're not well-edited, I might not publish them because I simply don't have the time to go through for hours and correct everything. Well, let's put that out of the way. And I'll end that little section on a high note saying, again, this is very impressive for Renegade Tribune to be up there. Alexa rankings of, 83,999. I'm glad that is the case. And I want to thank you all out there for going there and being commenters, reading the articles, sharing them, and contributing. I'm sure we have some contributors who are listening as well. Another thing I'd like to bring your attention to is with the streaming server, we've had some hiccups recently where it will switch over to the auto DJ, and it's very annoying when you're trying to listen to Charlie, let's say, and in comes Veganator because I haven't gone through and deleted some of the auto DJ archives that play. So you might hear some Veganator. It'll cut in and cut out, and it does appear to be part of an attack against the streaming server, which is much more vulnerable than our websites. I don't run the streaming server on the same server as the websites. I just lease it. But now I'm leasing two. So if you have any issues with one of the streams, go to the renegade.com, renegadebroadcasting.com homepage, and then look underneath the player. You'll see a little message that says, "Do you have trouble with the stream?" You could click and access the backup server stream. And that one likely should be good, unless, of course, internet or power has been cut to my location. Sometimes we do have big thunderstorms. And recently we had the attacks coming in from Iran, but I did talk about some of this last night on the roundtable. I spent much of the roundtable with Heathen Vegan discussing a whole number of issues. I really do encourage people to check that out. Because I had Heathen Vegan joining me and we had Tyler bringing up an interesting topic to kick it off, I didn't actually cover a lot of the stories that I had compiled for discussion on the roundtable last night. And that's fine. I'm glad that when I had some other people to talk to, I didn't have to just rely on some of these, current events. Current events. Now, we shouldn't allow our disgust for current events to cause us to just completely disengage. We need to be engaged with our people. We need to understand what is going on with the public at large. Let's just not get mired in the madness, and let us always use discernment as to the media we are consuming. Otherwise, we just become useful idiots, the gullible goyim who get stuck in the Hegelian dialectic time and time again. Speaking of disengaging, that's exactly what they want for us to do. It's even in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, where the people just become so bewildered, they don't know what to think, and they just completely disengage from any kind of meaningful political discussion. They want us just to, go watch some of that, the movies or the sports, whatever it is, the latest drug craze, the latest distraction. Freaked out Americans desperately seek to escape the news. This is from Bloomberg. And of course, who runs the news? The Jews. Okay. Last week, Jen Wren, a children's literacy advocate in San Diego, attended her first political protest after reading about the Trump administration policy of separating small children from their immigrant parents at the border. So she had heard ProPublica's audio of the little girl crying, and she decided to do something about it. She shouted, she marched, and afterwards she decompressed by watching the Mr. Rogers documentary, Won't You Be My Neighbor? As soon as I hear the theme song, my blood pressure goes down, Wren said. I think that kind of calm is what we all crave mentally right now. Skipping a little bit. Last fall, the American Psychological Association found that almost two-thirds of Americans listed the state of the nation as their primary source of stress, above both money and work. More than half believe that America was at its lowest point in history. Almost 70% of all Americans feel a sense of news fatigue, according to the Pew Research Center. The nation's emotional exhaustion even makes an appearance in a recent enterprise rental car survey, when the company surveyed more than 1,100 Americans about their summer travel plans. The top three reasons given for traveling were stress, the news, and the political climate. Now, this is all being done deliberately, isn't it? Let's just think about what news was like before the September 11th attacks. Thanks, Jews, by the way. Not thanks, Britain. Yes, the BBC was reporting on the Solomon building coming, WT7 coming down 20 minutes before it actually happened. But no, let's point the finger where it belongs, the dual citizen Israelis and the good Goyim and all of our greatest allies over there in the only democracy in the whole wide world, really, the exemplar, the shining beacon of light on the hill. Thanks, Jews, for occupying all of our countries, really. It's just amazing. Well, with their news media, and they control it, they have really frightened the crap out of Americans, just agitated them, gotten them worked up time and again, polarized. And after September 11th is when these stations, these cable news networks, the MSNBC, the Fox Newses, the CNNs, really came into their own, or even came into existence, some of them. It exploded after September 11th because everybody wanted to get the latest update, because they had been traumatized, because they then became addicted, they became glued to their screens. And of course, this has been going on for quite some time, the different spectacles. JFK's Space Odyssey, right? Or you've got the O.J. Simpson trial. But when September 11th happened and the country's going to war, they unleashed a new weapon, a new version of this old weapon upon the world. And it's called the cable, the 24/7 cable news networks. And so people are obviously sick and tired of it. It does not make them feel good turning on the television. Why? Because it's Jew poison, so stop turning on the television. I know far more about our world and how it's operating now than any of these people who are all stressed out about current events. And I'll tell you what, I am less physically and emotionally stressed out about these things because I'm not watching their crap. I do check the headlines. I do see what's going on. But I am not allowing myself to be manipulated by flipping on a television. It is mind control. It's indoctrination. Even if you think you're a critical thinker, you're going to be affected in very deep and profound levels, going down to the cellular level with the way that they are using light and sound and who knows what else in these advanced smart devices now. Do not allow yourself to be manipulated in that way. I think a lot of the people who went on the Trump-tard bandwagon did so because they were watching the news, flipping through the channels, and they were getting worked up, really physically stressed out about seeing, you know, these different Jewish lefty news organizations trashing Trump and therefore white America. They got sucked in to the Hegelian dialectic. And oh, let's turn on Fox News for some feel-good Tucker Carlson. Yeah, he's really sticking it to them. He just BTFO'd that professor. Didn't you see that? We have our guy in Tucker Carlson. You can't cuck the tuck, right, guys? So, while there is a healthy instinct now to turn away from the news networks, what needs to happen is that people can't just completely disengage, just go off and plug their ears and say, la, 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 I'm living in la, 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 la land. No, absolutely not. We need to become even more engaged. We need to become proactive. Because when somebody is watching TV or just consuming news, they might pass it on to others, but there's nothing original and proactive about what they're doing. You need to be out there creating the news. And as I've been saying, you can do that on Renegade Tribune. You can have a huge impact. I've seen how the work that I've put out has had this ripple effect. And sometimes it does take a significant amount of time. But eventually, it seems like this is what everybody is talking about. You just look at how Renegades have been ahead of the curve on so much. I think it's not just that, you know, oh, we saw this coming or something like that. It's because we were hammering away at these issues. And now people are finally starting to get it. Even if somebody's only listening to, you know, a little bit of what you did, it could have a profound effect upon them. Even if you only have 100 people listening to you, whether it's through your articles or through podcasts that you upload and then submit to me. Even if it's a small amount of people, what if one of those people is themselves a good content creator and then they get influenced by what you've done and then propagate that further? So, again, let us, yes, turn away, disengage, escape the Jews news. But let's not disengage entirely from public discourse. In fact, let us go and dominate the discourse. It's a very different approach. A very different approach than somebody who's just like, well, I'm going to go watch the Mr. Rogers documentary. Now, I think that it's very important that while we're taking in some of these current events and seeing what's happening in the world, and Renegade Tribune offers a little bit of that, we also balance it. We need to have our own positive media. And so, as negative as some of the stuff that is discussed on Renegade Tribune and on this network can be, you're not going to be feeling the same ill feelings as you will if you turn on the TV, because we're not using subliminals and all that crap against you. But it's also because you'll find content on there that can help you change your life in terms of some health tips or in terms, and no doctors, we're not doctors here, not prescribing or any diagnosing. The FDA does not approve of this broadcast. We're also providing art, songs that perhaps can help to awaken a folk soul. Different artists from the past and present. Different texts from 100 years ago, 200 years ago, dealing with ancient European spirituality. So, it's in my opinion, it's very important that we keep this element of what we're doing alive and strong. I think it's one of the most important things that Renegade Tribune has to offer, and Renegade Broadcasting, because nobody else out there is really doing it. They're not bridging the gap between these different areas. Yeah, they might be discussing heathenry, but they're not also talking about how it applies to our modern world here today. They're not engaging in the struggle against modern-day Mordor, you know? Modern-day Mordor, where would that be located? Where could we place modern-day Mordor? I think that Sauron is kind of our greatest ally. You know what's kind of interesting here? Is that Viggo Mortensen has come out in support of BDS. Boycott, divestment, sanctions, right? Viggo, the king, the leader from Lord of the Rings, coming out against Israel. Now, I'm not claiming that he is anywhere on our side. I just find that kind of symbolic. And speaking of symbolic, just a sign of the times, I'm guessing you caught this news story about Shakira. I find this just interesting and somewhat comical. But I do think it is a sign of the times. And even if this is all just being crafted by our enemy for some reason, I think it shows us that we're having such a big impact that weird stuff like this is happening. Shakira, for her new El Dorado tour, which started in Germany last month, in the beginning of June, June 3rd, she has this merchandise. The tour is being promoted through this promotion group, Live Nation. You might be hearing some fireworks in the background. And that is not gunfire. I don't know if it's being picked up on the mic, but I'm definitely hearing it. It's because we've got 4th of July coming up. And down here in Florida, people really love their fireworks. So you'll be hearing fireworks for the next few days down here. And into next weekend as well, if people don't set off all their fireworks. So it's the civil war that Alex Jones has been promoting. It has not started yet. I just don't want you to be alarmed, okay? But back to Shakira. Yeah, the El Dorado tour starts in Germany. Right? And of course, where's that famous Black Sun symbol that really kickstarted its prominence in our modern world today? Wevelsburg Castle in Germany. That's the one that the SS was renovating. And, oh, that's an interesting story. I've discussed it on broadcasts in the past, but that Black Sun symbol did not just get buried in NS Germany. No, it lived on. A lot of people embraced it, and it became much more prominent than it was during World War II. This was kind of an occult symbol. But in our modern world, because you can't just be walking around with a big swastika on your chest, you know, you could get away with wearing the Black Sun because people might not, they might look at it a little funny and think, what does that mean? That might be, it seems kind of evil maybe. They won't associate it with you being a Nazi white supremacist. But the crazy thing is here, they had this necklace for the Shakira world tour, and they try to say, oh, it looks kind of like one. But no, this is a Black Sun. This is the old Sonnenrad there. This is the Schwarz Sun. That's this. Okay, that's what they're using for this necklace. It's very, very weird. And interesting that just a few months ago, Shakira was in the news for canceling her concert in Israel as well. So I don't know. Is she going to be the new kind of anti-Semite singer hero? I don't know. It's very weird. Also, I mean, her El Dorado cover art for the album, her hair looks like it's completely bleach blonde. Her skin looks very, very white, like she's emerging from milk, and she's wearing a milk-colored bra or something. So trying to very much have that Aryan look. Her natural state is much more kind of indigenous looking, though she does come from Spanish origins as well. But she has dark hair naturally. Shakira. Yeah, hips don't lie. That's kind of when I stopped paying attention to her music. And I wasn't really, ever a fan of it. It's just when I was younger, you heard that everywhere, right? So this woman has been working for the Jews for quite some time. I really haven't looked into her current contracts or anything. But how weird is this? They claim, Live Nation claims, okay, here's a quote. The necklace Live Nation designed for Shakira's El Dorado World Tour was based on pre-Columbian imagery, the U.S. company said on its Twitter account. Absolutely not. Now, there is a European history to it. And maybe that's what they mean by pre-Columbian. You know, before the Europeans went and, established Columbia. Maybe that's what they mean. They say, however, some fans have expressed concern that the design bears an unintentional resemblance to neo-Nazi imagery. We sincerely apologize for this inadvertent similarity and have permanently pulled the item from the tour collection. How could they not know what this symbol is? They were just cruising along the internet look at that symbol there. They did a Google image search. Yeah, let's use that one. Let's not look into what it means at all. Let's just use that one. So what's the game being played here? I don't know. Why was there a big crop circle of the Schwarz Sun back in 2015 in the UK? I don't know. Sign of the times, I guess. Back with much more. Stay tuned. Jewish professor Noel Ignatieff.
My concern is doing away with whiteness. Whiteness is a form of racial oppression, sure. The suggestion is that it is somehow possible to separate whiteness from oppression, and it is not. There can be no white race without the phenomenon of white supremacy. In the same way, if you abolish racial oppression, you do away with whiteness. Treason to whiteness is loyalty to humanity.
Your views are fairly well received in academia.
Yes, they're legitimate. Not to say that everyone agrees, but sure. And the task is to bring this minority together in such a way that it makes it impossible for the legacy of whiteness to continue to reproduce itself.
Welcome back to the broadcast here, everyone. Before the break, we were talking about the Black Sun and how it's been used. This is something that we've used here at Renegade. We've had a number of different pieces of clothing that people could buy through the years. Those stores all got shut down, and you can't buy the Black Sun Renegade gear anymore. But it was out there. We've discussed it a number of times. And so Shakira's tour, they had this as being sold on the website. You just go buy a Shakira Black Sun necklace. And they're claiming, oh, it just, you know, I guess it has a resemblance. No, it's the exact thing. And it's just interesting. It's weird to note, especially after it's gained so much prominence. I mean, the ADL lists it as a hate symbol. So they just accidentally threw an ADL hate symbol on a necklace for sale. I don't know. Miguel Serrano really liked the Black Sun. He was down there in South America. Maybe his work influenced them. Maybe Renegade is influencing Shakira. As Irton's saying in the chat, if people with any kind of modicum of power are listening out there, and hey, in reality, that includes all of you. You just don't realize it. You don't realize how much power you potentially have. But yeah, those out there with a little bit of power, or a lot of power, use it. Use it. Use it wisely. There's no way they couldn't have known that that was a Black Sun. You know, the symbol was all over Charlottesville. You know, it's now associated with a lot of different things. But within the Jewish media here in the West, it's 100% evil. 100% bad. Very, very naughty. Very naughty symbol to them. I think we'll see a lot more acts of kind of defiance against what Jews think and want. And I think that's a very, very good thing. I've been noticing a lot of people talking about Chabad recently. I think that's a very good thing. Definitely. There's a show I posted. It's a broadcast, I guess, from Lift the Veil. He was on the network. Nick Spiro came back. I guess this would be the last Circus Maximus I did. He came back after he left the network and did a wild card slot with Nathan Stoltman from Lift the Veil. This guy does some interesting work. He really has connected some good dots, especially recently, on Jewish power from a very kind of analytical perspective. Ties it together pretty well. Is the guy himself Jewish? I don't know. But he did a pretty good summary of the Jewish supremacist doomsday cult. So I posted it over there on Renegade Tribune. Got a little bit of action. And this is, of course, the cult that ties together Putin, Trump, and, of course, Israel, and so much else. Very, very important. But not a lot of people actually had been talking about it for quite some time. Now, let me actually go to a broadcast that I did. I had this loaded in the timestamp perfectly found. I did this broadcast in 2013. This was September of 2013. Let me just play a tiny little bit of it for you all. Find a decent approximation of the timestamp here. Go about 9:40 in. 9:38, that's close enough. Okay, wait, 9:40. There we go. And the audio is not very good. We didn't have that high of quality. We were using Blog Talk Radio at the time. My mic probably wasn't that good. But man, we were covering these issues. I was covering these issues 5 years ago. And it's just great to see these things being discussed finally by a number of other people out there. Because once you are able to identify at least some of the key elements enslaving you, then you can start down the road to no longer having such masters anymore. So here it is. You can take a look. I titled it Crushing the Criminal Cabal. You could just search for Chabad Lubavitch on the Renegade Broadcasting site, and you'd be able to find this. This is back when my show was called the Blitzkrieg Broadcast, and I didn't do it on Sundays. I switched over to the Solar Storm when I switched to Sunday. But anyway, here you go.
To our legal system, the Noahide laws, and that would be primarily the Chabad-Lubavitch movement. Hopefully, you guys are familiar a bit with Chabad-Lubavitch. That's an interesting name. You probably heard it before, but you might not know exactly who these guys are. If you see some powerful Jews wearing black fedoras meeting with political leaders, those are Chabad-Lubavitch people, Lubavitchers, as they're called. Yes, it's an interesting name. I actually think that it would be a good rap name. You just have to change it around a little bit. Chabad-Lubavitch? Yeah. What do you think about that? Chabad-Lubavitch. Yeah, these guys are quite powerful. They're the ones up there lighting the menorahs, those huge menorahs, the one that they put out in front of the White House, up there using this this massive lift to get up there. That's how big it is. You can't just use some kind of ladder. It's so big that they have to use this scaffolding type. I forget what kind of lifts those are, but it's just ridiculous. And it shows you who's in charge of that capital of this country. And pretty much at this point, the world at large.
All right, so that's all a play of that. I haven't really come back to the Noahide laws very much, but I did discuss the Noahide laws at length in that show. And that's something I think is actually very important for people to understand. And understand that the Noahide laws are put into the U.S. law books, essentially, on Education Day, which is Rebbe Schneerson's birthday. And that was done in 91 by George H.W. Bush. Yeah, Noahide laws. Totally recognized. Awesome. The Lubavitch. Yeah, Chabad-Lubavitch actually was one of the producers, I think, or special thanks to Chabad-Lubavitch in the Jews Celebrating Centuries of Control video. You can still find that one. It's up on renegadevids.com, or just search Jews Celebrating Centuries of Control. We did a parody of the Whites. I don't even remember what it was, but Whites skit on SNL where Sarah Silverman was pretending to be a white woman, along with other Jews, and they were just talking about how funny it is that whites are in the decline, and what it'll be like when our time's over. We've had a good run, but we're not always going to be on top. So we just turned the tables and said, Jews, we've had a good time, but we're not always going to be on top. 2018 or 2020 tops. That was the timetable we put forward. I think we put that one out in 2015. Hey, 2018's not over, is it now? Things don't look all that good. I'm here to tell you, though, that things can change very, very quickly. And it's happened oh so many times before. They don't want us knowing about that. They don't want us knowing our history. They want us to think that our ancestors were just anti-Semitic idiots, those barbarians. They didn't realize all the pleasures and good things we were bringing to their societies. Let's get back to this Chabad discussion for just a second, because one of the comments on the Renegade Tribune video posting of the Lift the Veil video was Bobby. Says it's interesting that he is covering this, and he is also exposing Q, but I am also not totally sure what to make of Nathan. I am more suspicious of this Talpiot group with O'Connell, Brendan, saying many strange things. Paraphrasing here, we should stop talking about Jews, and we, the Goyim, are all to blame and deserve what is happening, etc. And this pushing of Talpiot as if it is the only issue worth exposing is very strange. He's appearing on the Jeff Rentz show and trying to get on Richie Allen to push Talpiot. We all know that Talpiot high technology and cyber warfare is an issue, but why is he pushing it so very hard? It is all very suspicious. There is also his regular bashing of white nationalism and Hitler admirers, and pretty much denying white genocide is an issue. He and the Talpiot group are also not exposing the Holocaust and various other issues, which are much easier for awakening communities to engage with and have a more powerful impact on people. I'd agree. From my experience, the Jews are most scared of real nationalism and National Socialism.
This call is being recorded.
And they also hate World War II, Holohoax, and Hitler Truth coming out, as well as usury and the banking system being exposed, and real alternatives to this insane debt slavery system being proposed, national state banking, etc. And people understanding Talpiot is not a solution. It is part of the jigsaw. So if many people understand it, then what? A great many people understand 9/11 was done by Israel. Nothing has changed. You also have Adam Green in this group, a suspicious guy. This Talpiot group has been publishing the 7-hour-long Kay Griggs interview recently. Brendan and then Dante. Dante pushed it one Talpiot discussion, and the one thing he said about the Kay Griggs interview was that it even says how the Nazis infiltrated the U.S. government. Facepalm. Of all the things he could have said, you know, that's what he pulls from it. It's all very suspicious. Anyway, just needed to express that. Thank you, Kyle and Renegade, for this website. Okay, just wanted to put that out there because I've been having a lot of the same thoughts about these issues. And this Dante guy, he goes by No Race and puts forth the idea that basically the whole Boasian idea of anthropology, that there's the human race, that race isn't real. Not even just that race isn't important, that there is no such thing as race. Just don't worry about race. Well, I am worried about race. I'm worried about my race. Any event, we do have some callers coming in. First, let's go to Scarlett. Welcome, Scarlett. How are you doing?
Hi, Kyle. Thanks for taking my call.
You're quite welcome.
Oh, I'm getting some real echoes here. I know it's not a round table, but I heard what you were talking about, and I have this thought that I didn't want to let go. I was going to call in last night, but you guys were doing really good, and I didn't want to butt in.
Well, please,
but
feel free.
Something's been bugging me for a while now, and I just pinpointed it this week. I don't know if you've noticed you probably don't spend too much time on social media. I spend more time than I should, just because I want to combat all of this terrible rhetoric against our people, you know? And it's hard for me to articulate this. I put it to my husband, but it's been a couple of years now. You've noticed like the whole snowflake generation that everyone's been talking about.
Yes, the special snowflakes, right?
Yeah, how we're all like emotionally inept and can't deal with, you know, being butthurt, supposedly. This is the new term.
Oh, everybody's going to get hurt. How are you doing?
So I've noticed, to me, it's like an assault. Y'all were talking about last night private property. I believe there's also such a thing as emotional property, and I'm no snowflake. But I think, again, it's important that we study the enemy. They're always 10 steps ahead of us. And they're ahead of us in this way of attacking us emotionally, where it's okay to be emotionally attacked. Like, people are going to say anything they can to trigger you. And then you're called out and heckled for being triggered.
This is only the case
with
white people.
I think this is a very, very serious psychological operation. It's extremely sick.
Yeah, and this is only really applying to white people. White fragility. That's one of the things that they call it, too. Oh, you and your white fragility. Why are you so triggered that this Jewish professor is calling for your genocide? Why are you all emotional about this? He's just exercising his free speech. And you're right with the snowflake. What is a snowflake? What color is it? It's white. And it's frozen, right? And where do white people come from? The cold climates. This is definitely something that is being used as a weapon against white people. And really, tellingly, it is a lot of the kind of right-wing so-called pro-whites who use this term against the snowflakes. It's kind of a Paul Joseph Watson thing, too, I think, you know, from InfoWars, calling people, you know, these lefties, oh, they're just all snowflakes. And you could see where this could be going, as you're pointing out, is that white people are never allowed to react when they are offended in a very serious way.
Yes, anytime the rhetoric is pointed against our people and promoting our genocide, our ethnic cleansing, and I am there to say, no, this is the way it is. For instance, there's a running theme on Facebook about Americans genociding the Indians and how we're all illegal immigrants. And I'm there. I'm not emotionally triggered. I'm not flipping out or anything, but I'm there to counteract your rhetoric every time I come across it to say, no, my people were not illegal immigrants. My people were pioneers and settlers and explorers that came and brought civilization to a harsh and unforgiving wilderness. And whenever I say that, then I'm called a snowflake. Oh, why are you being so triggered? You're being butthurt. But you never hear that when someone's going after blacks or anyone else.
No, if
they're allowed to be triggered, but I'm being a snowflake.
If you trigger one of them, it might be a hate crime, or at very least a microaggression. You can't even unintentionally say something that might offend them, and otherwise, you know, you're gonna be fired from your job for insensitivity. So they actually do have this kind of legally backed up status as one of those special snowflakes, so-called, that, you know, cannot be offended.
Yeah, exactly. And I really do believe that this was well thought out, well planned out in advance by our enemy. This is a very serious psychological operation. And that's just the point I wanted to make.
Yeah, well, when you know, some Holocaust jokes get made, why are Jews so offended? These little snowflakes just, they can't take a joke? What's going on? All these other ethnicities, we could take a joke. You could tell an Irish joke. What's wrong with these? You could even tell a potato famine joke. Yeah. It's a genocide, but yeah, go ahead. You know, I'll take it. But oh, you start saying some things about the Jewish holy tales. Oh yeah, they get triggered pretty quickly. Their offended status can land you in prison for many years.
Oh yeah, literally in the public sphere, if I'm at work or whatnot. I mean, you dare not say anything about an ethnic so-called minority, even though we're the minority. Don't say anything about the brown person. Don't say anything about the black person, the gay person, the trans person, or anybody. But it's literally okay to bully me and laugh in my face over the extinction of my people. It's literally okay for one of my coworkers to laugh at me and think it's funny that I'm upset that my people are going the way of the dodo bird, and they expect me to sit in my chair and go the way of the dodo bird without a whimper.
You know, Scarlett,
and I will not have it.
There was actually something I had on my agenda here. I don't know if you caught this. White extinction anxiety from the New York Times. Yeah, this just came out.
I caught that. I did read that, yeah.
By Charles M. Blow. And he...
Yep, a black guy, I think.
Yeah, he writes just, this is very offensive. You could very well get triggered by this article. And I still do get somewhat triggered when I read this stuff. I mean, I expect it, I know it, but it's just so in your face. And the sleight of hand that they're pulling here is, well, they're admitting that white people are going extinct, but they chalk it up to natural causes. Not like there's been an all-out psychological assault on white people. Not like there have been programs instituted by the government to take jobs, to take living space, to take wealth from white people and give it to non-whites, many of whom aren't even here legally. It's endless. We've proven white genocide over and over again. It's so very obvious to anybody who's paying attention, but they're just trying to make it seem like it's just a natural thing of these white people just decided one day just not to have children anymore. They're just probably, you know, they're just too selfish or stupid. You know, who knows? Who cares? But white people just, they don't want to have children anymore. So, you know, they're they're going to get displaced by these undocumented migrants and others, and, you know, other people who are getting funded to have as many children as possible. Yeah, so they white extinction anxiety. What about you? Are you triggered by this?
A little bit, but I had come to expect it because I think that was the fourth article in 7 days that I read, not only remarking on our coming extinction, but actually celebrating it. There was an article about Texas, how, the Hispanics won't be a majority until for a few more years. It's not happening as fast as we thought, guys, you know, calm down, but it's happening nonetheless, you know, and it's just a running stream.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was triggered and I get angry and I take that opportunity to point. I post it on, you know, Facebook and I point it out every time. I do not appreciate this. I do not appreciate having my face rubbed in the fact that my people are being ethnically cleansed. Not because I want to take part with a conversation with a bunch of fucking idiots. I don't. I just refuse to allow them to take over the narrative.
And Scarlett, do you know what's happening with the children? I mean, you must, because you've got children in the United States. The whites are now in the minority. That's been the case for quite a few years now. School-age children, whites are in the minority. And when white people become a minority, or even just close to it, and there are ethnic groups like blacks or Hispanics who are even encouraged to kind of clique up, to gang up, and have ethnic pride, well, it's like a prison. And white people are not, a lot of these children are not prepared for the diversity that hits them square in the jaw when they go to some of these high schools or even middle schools. It's not good for these children. Even if they're not getting beat up, they're getting bullied. And they're just not feeling good,
Kyle,
at all.
Yeah, they are getting beat up. Or they're doing the beating up, or they will get beat up. This happens to my children on a weekly basis. They are a slight minority. I think my school system is 40-60, 60 being Hispanic, 40 being white, and it's extremely hostile. And, of course, the school administration will not recognize this, that my children are in a racial environment that leads to hostilities. So there continues to be problems, and I continue to get phone calls. And, again, another quick personal story. My children got kicked out of summer school because they were on a bus and a Mexican decided to be very, very, very hostile, sexually hostile to my little boy's little friend, his female friend. Then larger boy decided to push my younger boy, whereas his older brother got up and said, no, I'll be having none of that. And he broke his nose and made sure he couldn't come to school for a week with a concussion. And, I did talk to him about using excessive force, but I was very proud of them. I was proud of my son for sticking up for the weaker female and not allowing her to undergo this sexual harassment and actual almost assault. And I was proud of my oldest son for not allowing his younger brother to become a victim of a physical assault from the older Mexican. Trying to explain this to a school administration is like, you know, forget about it. So I'm working really hard to get my kids out of this situation.
Yeah, they shouldn't have to be in those confrontations. Now, in a healthy white society, I'm not saying that wouldn't happen, that there wouldn't be some conflict. Young bucks do butt heads. But when there are all these racial differences in there as well, it just really complicates matters, and it's so unnatural, and it's a shame that we've allowed there to be a situation to come to pass where children aren't allowed to have real childhoods anymore because there's always a threat out there now,
So, they're not allowed to be males. They're not allowed to be strong, young, white males. I pointed out to the principal, I'm not raising elderly women here. I'm raising young men. And they did exactly what was expected of them. If they had done anything less, they would have been ashamed to walk in the house.
Yeah, I agree completely. And I mean, that is the way that people in general are supposed to act. And the sad thing is, it's not just the children who are acting cowardly sometimes these days and not doing what your children did. It's the adults. Just sit back and allow for their people to be abused right in front of them. I'd say it's more the adults. Oftentimes. Mm-hmm. Just complacent. Oh, it's a terrible situation, Scarlett, isn't it? But we can do something about it, so we're going to do all that we can. And it can seem like it's not a whole lot is changing, but I see that there is that pushback. There is a fighting spirit within our people. It's rising. It's been kindled. Is it going to be in time? Well, it has to be. You know, we've got to do everything we can to fan the flames, as it were. Well, Scarlett, we're going to be heading into a break in just a little bit. Is there anything else that you wanted to add to the show here before we get to a couple other callers?
Oh, no, not at all, Kyle. I just wanted to get that across before it fled my mind.
Well, thanks so much for calling in. I do appreciate it.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Let's see who this caller from Virginia is first, and then we'll go down to Texas. Welcome, Virginia. Is this Tony?
It's Nick.
Nick, okay. Hi, Nick. What's going on?
Fama Blanca.
Okay.
To what Scarlett was saying about the triggered and all that, all it takes for whoever they are to get triggered is a white chick wearing an Asian-style prom dress to prom, and then it's like, stop the presses. Cultural appropriation.
Yeah.
And then second, that Brendan O'Connell dude is a douche. Like, I was watching his channel for a little bit because I liked Nick's show, and I would listen, you know, them talking. And then when Nick passed away, he had his little 2-second tribute to him, and he spent 30 seconds of it throwing shade towards you guys, basically, like, oh, he came from a white nationalist radio program and I don't appreciate that, you know. And it's like, dude, like I thought they were buddies, but it's like he kind of, you know, like, I don't know, it was just
O'Connell's like, a piece of shit, that's all I could take from his reaction to Nick's death.
Yeah, like that, like I basically unfollowed him after that, like, fuck, you know, like, whatever, you're a turd.
All right, Nick, do you want me to hold you over the break? You have a few other points you want to make?
Yep.
All right, very good. We'll talk to you after the break. Stay tuned, everyone. Much more to come in the second hour.
Herbs have been used by people since the dawn of time. When Rockefeller introduced allopathic medicine, many herbal remedies fell by the wayside as people put their faith in prescription pills and the world just gets sicker. Here at Heathen Herbs, we look to the past and to nature for answers. We offer tinctures, magnesium skin cream, lip balm, tooth powder, colloidal silver throat spray, and more. Check us out at heathenherbs.com.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Renegade Broadcasting.
Welcome back to the Solar Storm. This is the second hour here, and I'm taking calls at the moment. If you want to call in yourself, 747-999-6407. I know a lot of my Solar Storms don't have any time for callers, but tonight we do have some time. So let's bring back Nick here and see what else he wants to add. Nick, welcome back.
Yeah. And I just wanted to say, do you live near the beach?
I live close enough to be able to make a quick day trip down to the beach, yeah.
Well, I live right by I was just swimming in the big blue today. You go down there and dive in, and you can kind of listen to the water, and sometimes you can hear the dolphins doing their echolocation and stuff. It's nice to bond with the ocean, I guess. Get my iodine and all that. It's pretty cool.
Oh, I agree. Ocean is very, very powerful. It's a shame what's happened to the ocean and its creatures as well. And yeah, if people live by the ocean, do take advantage of it. Swimming in the ocean is one of the best things you can do. I live fairly close to it was the shark bite capital of the world. But I think that's now in South Africa. But yeah, I'm pretty close to an area where less shark bites take place. You'd think it might be over somewhere in Australia, right? They have a lot of problem with that with the surfers. But nope, it's by us here in Florida. Hey, anything else you wanted to add?
Kind of, I guess, this local rabbi somewhere in Newport News is wanting to strengthen hate crime laws.
I'm so shocked.
Buddy, how many hate crime laws turn out to be hoaxes? Like, how about we worry about these fakers out there instead of strengthening the persecution or whatever?
Hey, what about this Israeli Jew who just got convicted of all those bomb hoax calls? Yeah, all these threats to...
They were like, it's up. It was 134 hate crimes last year, and this year it's up to 234. And it's like, well, right there, 25 of them are hoaxes. So,
oh, it's more than that. Yeah. But yeah, they counted them. Greenblatt, Jonathan Greenblatt. I'm always retweeting him with my own comments. Oh, freaking ADL. Oh, those pieces of, they're promoting these as, you know, part of the whole anti-Jewish hate tally. But let me just question something here about supremacism. If there really was this kind of white supremacist problem in the United States, if, let's say, a white supremacist, so-called, was the one who made these bomb threats, don't you think his face would be plastered all over the news? But with this Israeli teen, he's allowed to just have his face hidden the whole entire time. I think it's actually just a front. They're just blaming it on this little scapegoat out there, when this is obviously an organized effort. Nobody's going and looking into who is paying him with all this Bitcoin. Who is behind this guy, if he was even doing it in the first place? But this was used as a justification for taking all of this Holocaust denial and pro-white material off of Amazon. They just did a big clean sweep of all the books that they wanted to get rid of. And when it turned out that, oh, that was a hoax pulled off by an Israeli operation, well, it's not like Amazon's going to go back and say, well, because that was, you know, false, you know, we're going to have to reinstate these books. Of course not. So it achieved its objective, even though it was exposed. That's how much power they have.
Yeah, it's like, how dumb do you have to be, oh, it's a white supremacist system that you're literally allowed to hate white people, rat on white people, assault white people in the streets, kidnap a retarded white kid and torture him, and not get hate crime charges, do everything to white people, but if you call a Jew, you're getting locked up for 20 years.
Yeah, you heard his feels. Now, if a black person murders an old white woman, you know, he didn't mean to. Or what, that illegal immigrant guy who shot Kate Steinle, or however that's said, right? Out in San Francisco. Yeah, you know, he just gets off scot-free. He didn't mean to. He was just shooting randomly, and he killed her. So you can literally get away with murder if it's against white people, but you hurt the feelings of a chosen one, and yeah, you lock him up, just throw away the key. It's incredible. Incredible that we don't do more about it. Hey, Nick, I want
when I was a kid, I didn't imagine the future being a prison planet. I don't know. I didn't think it would suck this much to be here.
Maybe you didn't watch Back to the Future 2, wherein the Donald Trump character is played by Biff Tannen at the head of the casino. Franchise there. That future kind of sucks, and that's kind of like the one we're living in here. Very interesting, all the Trump time travel crap that's out there. Very, very strange that a character in Back to the Future was actually based off of Trump. And I would not have seen this coming either. I did not think that we would devolve this quickly. I mean, I saw things were getting bad with the whole Clinton blowjob scandal while I was in high school. It was very awkward. But I did not see us going, you know, into the realm of having the Donald Trump, the reality TV star, and WWE Hall of Famer as president of the U.S. This is quite dystopic. Very interesting times, that old curse. May you live in interesting times. Nick, we certainly do. I've got another caller I'm going to get to here. I want to thank you for sharing your thoughts here tonight. Take care. All right. We've got Austin in Texas. Not Austin, Texas. All right. Austin in Texas. Welcome. Yeah,
huh? Hey, Kyle. So I was just wondering if I could make like a small maybe observation about the sun on this sun day.
Go.
Okay, if I just like kind of present a little idea I had recently about the maybe the nature of our Earth.
Yeah. You know what? Go for it. I like the sun. I like hearing about the sun. What are your thoughts on it?
Okay, so, you know, I think I've been questioning the nature of things for a little while, and I had a realization the other day that the sun is constantly moving from the North Pole to the South Pole, and it does this year after year after year. And I think that we're told that it's because there's a wobble to the Earth because it's spinning around the sun, and luckily it's facing the sun, right? And not the axis facing the sun. So what I'm thinking is, like, I think that the sun is something electromagnetic, and it's being pulled between the North Magnetic Pole and the South Magnetic Pole. And we've been taught that this pole is wobbling when it's actually just a magnetic pole.
It seems like the kind of flat Earth model that I've seen promulgated out there, where it's the sun that's moving, who knows really exactly how, but what would be seen as summer would be when the sun would be going around. It would depend on where in the world you were, but you know, summer just depends on whether or not the sun would be circling more towards the North Pole or the South Pole, depending on where you are. So it just goes from in these circles that get bigger and then contract and then get bigger. I mean, is that kind of what you're getting at here, or is it something else that I have not seen presented?
It's more it's more like the idea that the only reason we have seasons is because of the supposed wobble. And, you know, I'm not going to say that it's flat or it's round, but I think that, you know, we need to look at the nature of the world we're living in and, you know, see that the sun is moving in conjunction with the magnetic field of the Earth for some reason. And, you know, that's my main thing. I think if we want to progress as a people, we need to get rid of this false knowledge that we've been given and try to look into things in a new way.
All right. I'm always up for reconsidering our relationship with the sun. Let me know if you have any other findings on that in the future. Yeah, I love the sun. I used to do some sun gazing myself. I feel like it's an interesting way to really charge up oneself. Oh man, I used to sit there. I used to love it right when the sun was setting, just to look into that setting sun. People might think that's crazy. I'm not telling you to go out there and stare at the noontime sun, but actually sun worship and sun gazing does have an interesting history. I've done some shows on it in the past. People can go and check that one out or those out. It does have an electric nature to it, though. It's interesting that it's all just thought to be thermonuclear explosion. Our ancestors definitely didn't see it along those lines exactly. But, oh, science tells us what's what. Austin, anything else you wanted to add before we get to the next caller here?
You know, I mean, like you were saying, I think it's funny that, you know, we're kind of told the universe runs on gas. In a way,
yeah.
You know, the sun is a big burning ball of gas, you know. So I think that's something, you know, just I just want people to consider looking at the world and, you know, just questioning some of the things that we were raised up with, you know. And I think a lot of people that listen to this show probably are open to that. So that's all I had to say, man. But, yeah, if you want to get to the next caller.
All right, Austin, thanks for the call. Okay. Not taking this one. Okay, I'll take the one from California. Welcome. Who's this? California.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I got
terrible distortion. Bad connection. Not hearing you. Let's try again. Okay. Not coming through. Okay, well, if you want to call in, 747-999-6407, you should try to get a connection that's pretty decent if you're going to call in. I don't know what happened there. And yeah, again, 747-999-6407. I wanted to play a clip here. You know how Russia is just so based? Well, this kind of ties in. This ties in to what Scarlett and I were discussing before. It's just how in your face the anti-white agenda is. And it's all over Russian media. State-sponsored Russian media. And yet
white
somehow...
supremacists have targeted somehow, college campuses across the U.S.
You were not supposed to play yet. Get back. Yeah, somehow RT is just, they're truth tellers over there. They're pretty much as anti-white as our media here in the United States, and probably as Jewish as well. So let me just play this clip here. briefly.
White supremacists have targeted college campuses across the U.S. since 2016. These groups go from campus to campus, posting images and explicit words that include some sort of recruitment element and attack on minority groups, including Jews, blacks, Muslims, non-white immigrants, and members of the LGBT community. During the 2016 to the 2017 academic school year, there were 165 cases reported. And from 2017 to 2018, that number almost doubled, jumping to 292. The league found since September 2016, there were 478 incidents of white supremacist propaganda on campuses. According to the league, the campuses most targeted by these groups are schools in California, Texas, Virginia, Florida, Washington State, and Pennsylvania.
According to the league, who does she mean? She's talking about the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League. That's who she's citing here. RT citing the ADL to kvetch about white supremacists. This is just so based. I don't know if I could take much more.
The CEO said, quote, "We're concerned to see that white supremacists are accelerating their efforts to target schools with propaganda in hopes of recruiting young people to support their bigoted worldview."
Quoting Jonathan Greenblatt. He's just this expert on hate. All right, let's see if we can take this call now. California, are you with us? California. Nope. Not hearing you. Okay. Oh, wait. Okay, here we go. What's up? California. I heard briefly something, like an exasperated sigh. That's what I heard. That's what I heard coming through. Not very good. Okay. We've got so many different things to discuss here. Before rounding out the show, I don't really want to play much more or any more of this RT video. I'll note this, that it has only 15,000 views and 283 thumbs up and 450 thumbs down. Yeah, kvetching about white supremacists. How edgy. How edgy is that, RT? But you guys, God, people don't get it. The East and the West supposedly at war with each other? No, they're at war with white people. That's where all of this is leading. Have you not looked into what Dugin is doing? I don't just mean listening to him on Red Ice or InfoWars shilling. No, I mean actually looked into what his strategy is. This strategy of tension, this nonlinear warfare, this supporting of black extremist groups and white extremist groups within the West to destabilize and take down the West? Oh, but that's a good thing. I saw Mike Walsh talking about how he would be so very happy if Mr. Putin came and occupied Britain or the rest of Western Europe. Oh, yes. A lot of people feel that way. So that we can have even more draconian laws against speaking out against Jews, questioning the Holocaust, questioning the history of the Red Army. Hellstorm will get me thrown in the gulag, the Jewlog, and then tortured and killed. That's what it would be like if these people actually have their way. This guy who praises Stalin, oh man. How many people have been praising Stalin recently? If you watch the MAGA Opus, you'd see David Duke talking about how Stalin was really just a nationalist. Oh, and I got a good email from Wolf Wall Street. You know, I'm on one of his lists. And he was talking about how Stalin was looking into the Rothschilds. Oh, yeah. A lot of people trying to revive the image of Stalin. These people like to defend Alexander Dugin. Fourth political theory, the founder of national Bolshevism, putting up the hammer and sickle. Oh man, how absolutely disgusting that people. We have a lot of enemies, don't we? And a lot of those enemies pretend to be our friends, it seems. A lot going on with Russia that's in the news. They got the Nord Stream pipeline to Europe. That is, I guess, one of these big things that people are talking about. Sputnik News articles and Reuters covering it. And the U.S. sanctions apparently will not affect Nord Stream 2, the German ministry says. So they're all working together for this pipeline of natural gas. Listen, if Tesla's technology, just to name one specific inventor, if Tesla's, just Tesla's technology, was not hoarded away, classified actually by Donald Trump's uncle, John Trump, well, if that didn't happen, well, we wouldn't need any of this crap. Alex Jones was essentially promising that if Donald Trump was elected, that this tech would become declassified, that we'd all have free energy. That's one of the ways that he sold Donald Trump. It's ridiculous. You don't need me to tell you that. Just take a look. Russia Today. You know, Russia Today was actually the magazine of their foreign-facing propaganda. You could take a look at this. It's one of the old intelligence tactics to take these Western journalists into Russia, give them some good propaganda, get them drunk, show them a very staged picture of what Russia is, and then have them leaving thinking that it's the greatest thing ever. They probably also put them through some kind of mind control program. But if you actually go and look at Russia today, it's a very, very sorry picture that you'd see. You don't see Russia Today discussing the poverty and the depression of the Russian people. No, oftentimes they're showing the degeneracy of the West. And they're also, in some ways, many ways, promoting it. Promoting all these alternative lifestyles. I remember 2012, back when that great truth teller outlet, Russia Today, was promoting the Wank Fest with porn stars. They kept interviewing porn stars, and it was a wank out against Rick Santorum, encouraging people to have simultaneous days of masturbation. That's what our great ally, Russia, was doing. That's the kind of stuff that they're promoting here in the West. So don't give me this crap about, oh, Russia remains, so pure, and, well, they're exporting cultural Marxism and filth to us, along with all their Jewish friends. And come on, the Jews never lost power in Russia. Yeah, a few little oligarchs. It changed hands between some Jewish oligarchs and then to the Putin's buddy, those Jewish oligarchs. It's a mafia war. Just because one mafia gang is going against another doesn't mean one is good and one is bad. How people fall in for this every single damn time. Hashtag gullible goyim. I think we might have another caller. No, we lost that. So that's okay. If you want to call in, 747-999-6407. Listen, things are getting bad out there. They want us to be overwhelmed. They want us to be desensitized as well. Here's one of the things that they've done. They have normalized the situation. You need to go and listen to Yuri Bezmenov's speech. Yeah, he doesn't name the Jew in that old 1980s interview series. But he does tell you what they were doing. The subversion, the normalization. Look at how all of these invaders have been essentially normalized over time in, well, in the United States, but also in Europe. A few years ago, when this was really hitting full swing, was the summer of 2016? Was that? Maybe even the summer of 2015. Because I know that the whole full-scale invasion had not happened yet. A lot of the diversification had already taken place in a number of areas. But all of these millions of refugees, so-called refugees, that didn't happen until just a very coordinated assault took place. You have all these Jewish NGOs behind it, of course. But that happened after I put out Hellstorm. Now, I have the section about the rape of Germany. It's just, it's insane to see the decimation, the hordes, not this time conquering via arms, but just being able to walk in over the conquered country and rape the German women again. Not at the scale that they did before, at least not yet, but they're doing it to the children too. And when this was happening, I was doing some very fiery broadcasts about it. And I know that people in Europe were very fired up as well. But after time, the situation becomes normalized. So that's what they're doing now with things like the child trafficking. They're normalizing these behaviors such that we don't really even get shocked to hear about it anymore. Oh, yeah, another one of those. So that we don't have the proper natural reaction that we should have. You know, grabbing the proverbial pitchforks and torches. We need real leaders. This has been a topic we've been discussing recently, the need for leadership and what that actually means. Okay, I'm going to give California one more try to be able to communicate. And after that, I'm not going to waste any more time. California, what's up?
Yeah, hi, Kyle. Sean.
Yes, I hear you, Sean.
Oh, good show, man. Nobody does a solo show better than you do. But my curiosity about Russia is like it brings me back to the whole idea of landing on the moon. Somehow we beat them. So if they're like against us, why would they not have called us on the moon landing?
Are they not?
I mean, I think most.
Okay, so wouldn't they all be in on it? Isn't this a new world order?
That's my point. That's my point. The people that like want to say that Russia is somehow not on our side and that they're adversaries to us, wouldn't they be like calling bullshit on the whole moon landing hoax? I mean, because of this, we all know. I mean, I think most people that frequent your site know that the whole thing was not, you know, it was a hoax. So, you know, I wondered, I mean, why, I don't know why people could, and not only that, but 9/11, why wouldn't they be calling, you know, the F scientists and stuff? Why would they be calling bullshit on 9/11?
Why don't some of the Islamic countries who are directly being affected by this call bullshit?
That's a great question right there. That's the best question of all.
All right. Well, we'll be back in just a little bit. Stay tuned. Last segment coming up. One side of World War II. They don't want us to know the real history of what happened over 70 years ago, seeing through the eyes of the German victims. The horror of the terror bombing, the mass rape of millions of women and children, the torture and murder of civilians, the death camps for surrendered soldiers, the ethnic cleansing of whole countries, and the planned extermination of the entirety of the German people. After watching Hellstorm, you'll never see the good war and the good guys in the same light ever again. Watch for free and get DVDs at hellstormdocumentary.com. Welcome back to the Solar Storm. Now, I have an angry commenter here who's not so angry, I guess, on the broadcast. Sean did eventually connect to the broadcast, and we can hear him. So, Sean, anything else you'd like to say here?
No, not really, Kyle. Good show. You always, like I said,
you're just trying to butter me up here.
What's that?
You're just trying to butter me up here.
No.
Classic tactic.
You know that. You know, I still respect you. Okay, I know we've had our differences, but yeah, you know, you guys are still the only show I always catch.
All right. Thank you very much, Sean.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good night.
Bye. Okay, so let's move on now and talk a little bit more about the topic of leadership. And this has been a recurring theme, and it's a very important one because we need to be able to recognize what is good leadership and hold leaders to higher standards. I don't think that there aren't very many good role models out there. Think about what we see in our presidents, as I mentioned with Bill Clinton before. But just going back for a very long time, think about all the athletes that they put out in front of us. Are they really good role models? I know Charles Barkley, you know, who had that debate with Richard Spencer. How ridiculous is this world? This is clown world. It is. Charles Barkley had, you know, protested, hey, I never signed up to be a leader. Well, when you're doing these advertisements, when you're one of these top athletes out there being televised, you are going to be seen as a leader. And people need to shoulder the responsibility properly. You know, he needs to be a leader for young black men. Is he? I don't know. I don't follow any of it. But it doesn't seem like it. And he's not a fan of the white people, that's for sure, after watching some of that debate. It's funny to these people that white people will be extinct. They think it's funny. Well, look at the world that you're going to inherit. You're not going to think it's funny then. Some people realize that. Some smart black people do realize we don't want white people to go. You know, there was actually, speaking of time travel, future, there was that movie Idiocracy, right, with President Camacho. He did have a segment, I played this, probably on one of the wrestling shows that I did, where Camacho, he comes back in time to talk to white people of today and tell them how precious they are. Because, you know, in the future, there aren't that many white people around, and we really miss y'all. It's kind of funny. I think Mike Judge even collaborated on it. You know, the guy from who did Beavis and Butthead, who essentially helped create the Idiocracy with his own cartoons. He worked with Camacho to do this little skit, this segment. I forget what it was for, but you could look that up. Camacho, the black president in the Idiocracy, talks about white genocide, essentially. Why do some people become leaders? Why would a Camacho become a leader? Why would a Trump or any of these people? Is it for fame, some of them? For glory, for money, for sadistic pleasure? Are some of these people essentially forced to do so because they're working for some kind of secret organization? Is that the role that they're playing? Are these even really leaders, or are these just puppets? And the conclusion that I would come to almost all the time is that they're just puppets in some way or another. What should a leader really be fighting for? I mean, not just the profits, you know, the GDP of the country, not just, let's say, some kind of abstract ideals. We need leaders who are fighting for something. In particular, we need leaders who are fighting for our folk, fighting for our actual freedom from bondage. So any of these so-called leaders who aren't talking about how to end the enslavement of us through usury and through all these different schemes concocted by Jewish supremacists, then they're not really a leader. Selfless leaders are hard to come by these days. Think of how many you can name. How many of them can you really see in movies? sure, there are some heroes in there. But, and, you know, they do capitalize on, you know, using the leader archetype. But increasingly, they've become very sinister figures. Kind of these anti-heroes, these dark and depraved characters who, you know, have some redeeming qualities and save the day or something in the end. What has happened to real leadership? There's a good quote, a very powerful quote. And even when I hear it in German, I don't understand it. It really, ooh, I mean, it just rings true. It hits home. And however many people want to go out there and look into, like, Anthony Sutton research, so-called research, Jim Condon Jr. and the rest about Hitler and the National Socialist and, oh, he's a Rothschild agent. What they were saying and doing, I mean, it was right. That's the thing with all these O'Connell characters and whatnot. They won't actually address some of the policies and what was actually said by these people. So it's almost impossible to argue against a lot of it. Made sense and it worked. But this quote, you could see it in that the Lion video. You know, people have shared that one around. I don't like the fact that it has Christopher Walken's voice in it. But it's still a powerful video. There's a quote in it towards the end by Mr. Hitler. It says, the most precious possession you have in the world is your own people. And for this people, and for the sake of this people, we will struggle and fight and never slacken, never tire, never lose courage, and never lose faith. Let me just say this again. And for this people, and the sake of this people, we will struggle and fight and never slacken, never tire, never lose courage, and never lose faith. It's hard. Let me tell you, as somebody who does this day in and day out with Renegade Tribune and broadcasting, I've done it for 6 years. It can be trying, let's say. But I actually believe in our cause and our people. I know how they are today is not something we are always proud of. But I see the seeds of our future. Our potential is incredible. So we need to focus on what we will become rather than what we are now. We're not fighting for... I mean, you could turn around some of these people. Really, you could in a short period of time. You know, 50-something. But those people are sadly, on the way out. We have young people to worry about, and they are having some serious problems right now with all the toxins that are being pumped into them in so many different ways. They're sick, and they need to be brought to health. But even still, we need to fight for the future generations too. What kind of world are they going to have? Let's look into our future. And let's realize that we're going to have to do everything we can to steer a course, a correct course. A course that leads not to shipwreck and ruin, but to safety. to a future. It does not look good. I understand that. And that's why you need to realize what it is you're fighting for has so much value. People don't see the value in their people the way that they should. And I see the beauty in my people. I see it. It's not always burning that brightly, but I see it. And that's why you've got a lot of these demoralization agents out there ragging about white women just endlessly. Oh, they're all whores. They're all thoughts. They're all sluts. They're all feminists. They're just terrible. Have you seen them? They all have nose rings and they're fat and disgusting. Oh, they're just every single one of them is with some buck Negro. Every single one. All of them. All of them are like that. They all love rap. Oh, they all do. And they're all race mixing? No, they're not. I see, even in our sick world, I see a lot of healthy instincts within our people. And I see a decent amount of healthy white people, too. We have a future. Don't let these people let you think we don't. Let you think that the only possibility for anything good to happen is if it all falls apart. If everything just descends into chaos, the collapse. Wait for the collapse, whatever collapse that may be that you're waiting for. I know some people are talking about Varg. Oh, you know, oil. Oh, oil's going the way of the dodo. So you know, that collapse is coming. You know, the monetary collapse. You've got, maybe you could do some prepping. Have lots and lots of children. That's also the only solution. Just breed some children. While there's a huge child, while a child trafficking cult runs not just the United States, but runs the world at this point. While a child trafficking cult does that, have as many children as possible and just focus on that as your primary goal instead of opposing and deposing these powers. Huh, doesn't that seem like perhaps, just perhaps, a plan concocted by our enemies? Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have children, but that is, I really think that people are putting the cart before the horse sometimes here. We can't just try to outbreed these people who have come in to replace us. They need to go. I don't want to get into a breeding war with these people. It's all stacked against us anyway. And think of all of the places where vaccines are basically becoming mandatory, where homeschooling is not allowed, where trannies will be legally obligated to read to your children every single day. And I'm not just talking about trannies, but I'm talking about real sick freak clown trannies. Because, well, we're entering clown world. And so unless you address the killer clowns, we shouldn't be focusing on having these large families of essentially Eloi. Just the happy goyim who are all excited because a new fascist leader has come along making big promises. Oh, the Trump baby boom. I'm sure there was a Trump baby boom where all all these alt-right guys were so excited that for once they could have sex with their wives rather than just with their men friends at the latest pool party. These same the guys who promote this very demoralizing viewpoint. These guys are the same ones who promote homosexuals, who promote homosexuality as the last stand of implicit white identity. How absurd is this? That our own women, this thing that should be such a source of strength and just inspiration for us, and of course veneration. There are some great white women out there, and we should never lose sight of that. That we should just listen to these sodomites. Let us know about how awful our own women are. If you really think that, you're going to go the whole MGTOW direction. You're just going to, you know, look to survive yourself. You know, that you'll stay afloat, perhaps with your manner boond. But you don't give a damn about what the fate of your people and the fate of your women. Certainly not. Those thoughts get what they deserve. Wow. This is some very successful enemy propaganda that really has taken over a lot of, you know, this is the so-called pro-white perspective. It's very sick. And it, as I said, it's very demoralizing. Some of these guys really legitimately seem to think that white Sharia is the only solution. That's the only solution is to really just take away all rights from white women. Dealt with this before. But, yeah, look, Scarlett's calling back in, so we'll see what Scarlett has to say here. Welcome back.
Hi, Paul. I'm interrupting you again. So sorry.
No problem. Go ahead.
But I found another end because you were talking about something, and I'm like, I just want to get this in. It's this little thought I've had. Have you ever observed birds? I'm sure we all have. There's so damn many of them, aren't there? There's fucking billions of these birds, you know? And you'll see, like, just
masses of these brown birds, black birds, and they're squawking, sitting on the power lines, shitting all over everything, bothering everybody. And then you see that beautiful red bird, or you see the beautiful blue jay or the yellow-bellied finch. And I think it lends into your thought about breeding out, you know, this idea that we can outbreed them. Yeah, that's a bad idea. And I've gotten a lot of stuff, shit from people on this. They don't agree with me on this theory. But we are the red bird, you know. We're the blue jay. We're the yellow-bellied finch. And we're always going to be outnumbered by those squawking, ugly brown birds. So on the power line. And I don't think we should attempt to outbreed them. I think that's a really bad idea.
Well, some might say there's power in numbers, but I don't think we have enough time. I don't think we have enough time to just raise up a new generation. Well, how many years will it take to really have fighters, right? 18 years? You know, how much work are you going to have to put into that and worry about that rather than worry about our cause? I think it really is a trap what they're trying to push upon our people, saying that basically you need to have massive families, which you probably cannot really support. If you were able to support a family of, let's say, 8 children, are you going to have any time for any kind of real activism or doing anything related to our cause?
No. As a matter of fact, just my doing my part and having 4 children, I love them so much and will give everything for them and give all my energy towards them, but it does inhibit my ability to spend time on activism, on employing all my efforts towards rescuing our people, because I have to spend so much time supporting just those 4. So yeah, turn that into 8, and all you have is a bunch of squawking blackbirds. You don't have that beauty anymore. You don't have that uniqueness. You have lost that which made us what we are. If we attempt to outbreed, we want quality. Not just quantity.
Yeah, because if you do just really go for quantity, they will start ending up more like those other races as well. Because you're not investing the time into them, and what kind of culture will they be consumed in? You know, so we need our own space to really reproduce as we are supposed to. And we don't need to have massive, massive families these days. Ideally, we just wouldn't be funding this whole population boom and then having politicians who would then open up our borders to allow it all to take place, to allow this invasion to take place. I mean, there have never been more white people in the world than there are today. That's a statistic that they don't want us to realize. Yes, there is white genocide taking place, but they want us to think that our fate is sealed. No, that doesn't need to be the case at all. The tide can turn very quickly, as long as we really regain control of our minds and our hearts. Well, Scarlett, I want to thank you for calling in, given that bird story there.
Thanks, Kyle.
Always appreciate the calls. Okay, so let's finish out the broadcast here with some material that relates to what it means to be kind of the leader archetype. I found this. I thought it was pretty good. Now, I don't like a lot of the material that comes out about, you know, how men need to be, you know, masculine, because often what they're promoting is not any kind of real masculinity. Now, I think that we need to, within each one of us, determine what it means to really be a man or a real woman, and not let societal norms or even these archetypes define that for us. I'm not saying, you know, all these different flavors of gender identity, but I think a lot of what we're told about gender and gender norms and things like that is actually a little bit misguiding. And we don't need to stick, we don't need to grow in completely rigid fashion, I think is what I'm getting at. Or have things that only men can do and these things only women can do. We need whole human beings. We need integrated human beings. We don't need segregation of the sexes either. How stupid would that be? In any event, let me get on to this. I think it's pretty good. It talks about the king archetype. Now, I'm not proposing monarchy or anything, unless it's King Kyle. Okay, the king archetype is the most important of the four mature masculine archetypes. Just as a good king in mythological stories is often something of a Renaissance man, a good warrior, magician, and lover, the king archetype incorporates the other three mature masculine archetypes in perfect harmony. A man who accesses the king archetype in its fullness will also have accessed the warrior, magician, and lover archetypes. For this reason, the king archetype is typically the last of the mature masculine archetypes to power up in a man's life. In this way, it is truly the crown of the other archetypes, the energy that gives a man a sense of his full godlike potential. The characteristics of the king in his fullness. So he is centered. Throughout history, cultures often place the king at the center of the universe. From him radiated all of existence. If you look at how ancient civilizations laid out their cities, we often see the dwelling place of the king or leader set at the center. In addition to serving as a geographic center of his realm, the ancient king also represented its spiritual center as well. He was the intermediary between heaven and earth. Through his divine powers, the king brought order to the universe by reconciling opposite forces. Myths abound of kings battling evil, demonic creatures and establishing order in chaos. When a man is living the king archetype in its fullness, he feels that the same centering power within himself. Now, that he believes the world revolves around him, not that he believes that, but rather that his confidence, purpose, and well-being give him a supreme sense of balance. Even when the world around him becomes chaotic, he remains cool, calm, and collected. He acts rather than reacts. He's the rock in the crisis. A man fully engaged with positive king energy is completely present as a man before, because of his position at the center of things, he can survey everything that's going on, soak it all in, and then take a broad view of things. This overarching perspective allows him to remain immovable in the face of the passing and superficial. He is decisive. I'll just skim over this. Jump from point to point. He lives with integrity. So, I mean, how many leaders out there, they say one thing, do another. We expect hypocrisy. And we expect indecisiveness as well, right? He protects his realm. Let's get on to this one, because this is one thing that is not being done. Historically, one of the king's primary functions was to protect his dominion. When enemy forces encroached on his territory, a king would act with wrathful aggressiveness. Even today, we look to our leaders as protectors. The President of the United States is the Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces, charged with the responsibility of protecting our nation's security. That's not taking place. While a man might not be a leader of a country, he certainly has his own realms he's responsible for protecting, whether that protection be physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual. If you're married with children, your home is a realm, a place you want to make a refuge from negative influences. The department you're responsible for at work is another sphere where you work to protect your employees from infighting, mediocrity, and layoffs. And your own psyche and personal boundaries are sovereignties that you must protect and defend with zeal. Whatever your realms may be, when you're accessing the king archetype in its fullness, you do what you have to in order to protect them. And this often requires accessing the aggressiveness of the warrior archetype. Now, I want to point out that everybody seems to think that Vlad Putin is just this badass warrior. Oh, look at him doing judo. Now, Vlad Putin must know what we know about the Russian girls who are being, I'm talking about girls, who are being trafficked for sex slavery in Israel. He must know about that. It's pretty much out there in the open. Yet he still goes there, puts on the yarmulke, goes to the wall, goes to Yad Vashem, has these friendly conversations with Bibi. Is he really a king? Is he protecting his realm? I could never imagine having the responsibility of protecting my people and then going and being buddy-buddy with a country that knowingly has our young girls sexually enslaved there. How can he... Oh, he's just playing practical politics. Is that right? Is that right? He is no leader. He is no king. Not by any definition I can see. He provides order. So, it talks about the lawgivers. He creates and inspires creativity in others. I'll touch upon this one as we are running out of time. I can't get to them all. According to Moore, mythological kings were often associated with fertility and creation. Many ancient cultures believed that their king's ability to procreate determined the fate of their crops. If the king was lusty, virile, and siring numerous progeny, the harvest would be bountiful. But we don't have to father an entire football team in order to access the king archetype. Whenever we take part in any act of creation, whether it be writing a song, starting a business, or yes, becoming a dad, the king archetype is manifesting itself in our lives. To fully integrate the king in our lives, however, we must inspire creativity in others as well. A man who is accessing the king archetype understands that his power and influence in the world increases as he empowers others to live to their fullest potential. And that ties in with this next point here. He blesses the lives of others. So it talks about saying encouraging words to the young ones. Having the blessing of the king. As a young man, or a boy, having some kind of encouraging words just from an older person that you respect is very, very important. That's why it's just what they've done with their positions of authority and power and the way that they've corrupted our youth. Oh, it gets me to no end. That's something that we just need to get always keep in our hearts and minds. It's just the terrible things that they have done to our young ones and the horrors that they plan on unleashing upon them and all of us for years to come. Oh, he leaves a legacy. And of course, the shadow, that's a very important one for a king. The shadows of the king archetype, the tyrant and the weakling, is kind of the bad versions of that leader. Hey, we've run out of time. I wasn't able to take this call. But I do appreciate all of you listening in and supporting the network. Much more to come on RenegadeBroadcasting.com. And please check out all of our sites and all of our shows. Take care, everyone.
You're a slave to the capitalist system, which is ruled by the global elite. What happened to the individual? What happened to working class white, that fed this head with so much
power? How do you now see the future of the issue of immigration developing now across the whole of the European continent based on what you're seeing there in Germany?
This is a very good point, because immigration is the future. You cannot work and live in a globalized world, in the middle of the world, in Europe, without immigration.
So there's a second thing in that black box. An unrelenting stream of immigration, non-stop. Fewer than 50% of the people in America from then and on will be white European stock. That's not a bad thing. That's a source of our strength.
Flickering shadows draw itself from the